Welcome to MetaStrategy's Forum on World-Class IT. I'm Peter High, and I'm pleased to welcome Yuvi Kocher to the broadcast. Yuvi is the Corporate Chief Technology Officer of the Washington Post Company. In that role, he collaborates with the major divisions of the Washington Post Company in the areas of technology strategy, architecture, and shared information technology services. Under his leadership, shared IT services have rapidly expanded to support key compliance, identity management, security and privacy, HR, benefits, payroll, and procurement processes across all divisions. The team also supports the corporate intranet and is currently innovating in the area of Enterprise 2.0, collaboration, and flexible architectures, enabling rapid deployment of new solutions to respond to the fast-evolving requirements of the company's business units. Prior to joining the Post, Yuvi was the CTO of BrassRing, now Conexa, a leading SaaS solution for talent management. Besides BrassRing, Yuvi worked at technology startups in France, New York, Southern California. In addition to his diverse startup experience, Yuvi has also strong experience in managing large outsourcing engagements. Yuvi also has a terrific personal technology blog, which can be accessed at uvontech.blogspot.com. Yuvi received a bachelor's degree in electrical engineering from Malavaya National Institute of Technology. I recently caught up with Yuvi in his office in Washington, D.C., and our conversation covered World-Class IT Principle 2, infrastructure, as we discussed trends in infrastructure related to cloud computing and Enterprise 2.0 technologies, Principle 4, IT and business partnerships, as we discussed how Yuvi engages the disparate parts of the Washington Post Company's businesses, as well as some other topics. Well, Yuvi Kocher, welcome to the Forum on World-Class IT.
Thank you.
Yuvi, can you describe the group that you lead at the Washington Post Company?
So I work for the holding company, the Washington Post Company, and we are a diversified education and media company. Our primary businesses are our Kaplan Education, which is our largest business, and the Washington Post newspaper and digital properties that go along with it, the cable division, and the television division. So we own broadcast stations. So I work in the holding company, and we decentralize IT within our business units. So the CIOs of our business units do not report to me. So I have a much more of a facilitation coordination kind of role.
And how does that work? How regularly do you interact with them? What sorts of forums through which do you interact and so on?
So we meet regularly on a monthly basis, and we talk about what is most interest to everyone. We also meet once or twice in a year, frequently once in a year in person, where everyone talks about portfolio that they have, the portfolio of technologies, the business priorities, the projects they're working on. And then we share opportunities, we share experiences and opportunities to collaborate.
That's excellent. One need not be a media executive to know that the landscape is changing a great deal and technology has a big role to play in that. I wonder if you could take a moment and comment on the pace of change, the sorts of changes you're seeing, and maybe some of the technologies that are exciting you as it relates to media.
It's not surprising news. We talk about it all the time ourselves.
Yeah.
That media businesses are severely challenged by the internet and the access to media, both from a production and a consumption perspective. And we have been very actively investing in the digital space. We were one of the pioneers of going onto the web with a property we called the Digital Ink way in early 90s. And we have continued that level of commitment and innovation within the organization. We are grappling with the change that has come upon us, especially, I think, the dilution of the advertising market to search and to social media, has taken a lot away from media businesses. But our approach, obviously, is to adopt and to adapt. So we've been working hard at leveraging the digital media environment, the digital opportunity to expand our business, to reach a wider set of users. Our market has expanded to a national one, which used to be for a very long time a very local market. And so we are adapting to that change by launching new products, more targeted products, much more blogs on our sites. We are also integrating the content creation and delivery aspect to a much more seamless level where we can reach a very diverse set of distribution channels quickly and adapt quickly.
Given the diversity of all the things you just described and the newness of a lot of those, does that make your job that much more complex in thinking through how the implications and ramifications of all these new technologies and new media that you're leveraging and investing in?
Right. Yeah, it's all of us. I think we have a lot of investment mm-hmm. and a lot of focus. We have several groups who are looking at the opportunities. We have lots of trials going on what works, trying to develop businesses and business models that would be successful in the long run. So I think there's enormous focus within the corporation on taking media digital.
Excellent. First way in which I found out about you, UV, was through your blog, which our listeners can find at uvontech.blogspot.com. And one of the topics that you've written about most frequently through your blog is cloud computing. And I wonder if you could take a moment and talk about your vision for cloud computing, how you've leveraged it today.
So I have been, now we call it cloud computing, but I've been associated with software in the cloud. It used to be called ASP. Application service providers. I worked at a very large one in early 2000 for about 3 years, built a significant product. So, I've been sold on SaaS, software as a service, as it's now called, for a very long time, having built one, and now I'm a significant buyer and supporter of SaaS deployment within our organization, where we have tens of deployments of SaaS solutions. So that's one aspect of cloud computing, which I think has matured within the enterprise. And on the other side, infrastructure as a service, Amazon is clearly the leader in that space and created the market. And I think we are all in, I would say, late pilot or deployment stage. We have deployed Newsweek.com on the cloud. It's running on the Amazon cloud already, and we are actively looking at what else can be put out there. But again, security, privacy, management capability, the network, the bandwidth required to interact with cloud computing solutions, those are the challenges yes. that need to be addressed before we're going to see further uptake within the enterprise. We are also considering deploying a private cloud. We are actively looking at where it might make sense. I think the key driver there is to extract further efficiencies and generate more agility on the infrastructure side. I think virtualization has delivered a certain level of capabilities, but cloud computing takes it a step further. So we are actively considering developing a private cloud. And I think the goal there is to start small, pilot something, and then see how the technologies and the services and the management capabilities evolve. And then continue to leverage the public clouds for maybe spillover requirements or more public sites with less security requirements than enterprise software.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. You've talked about privacy, security, a lot of the new facets of the infrastructure that SaaS and cloud entails. Does this correspond with the need of new skills? Are there some skills that are becoming more among your staff or among the people that you engage externally? Are there different sorts of skill sets that are required in order to reach this vision? Or is it possible to kind of recast the old skills in order to transform workers into the cloud space?
I think the skills need to change.
Yes.
Because the skills of running a server or updating a server or patching a server. I mean, those are becoming commoditized and are moving to the cloud. So if that's the skill you've got, you know, and, you know, the skills of racking servers, I mean, those are skills that are clearly going away. But I think the skills that are becoming very important are skills related to solving customers' needs, educating them, partnering with the business to evaluate technology solutions, to adopt them within the solution set. So I think the IT role is continuing to be more business embedded, business focused, and much less infrastructure related. And I think that trend will continue as we continue to consolidate and migrate infrastructure into the cloud and leverage software as a service products more and more actively.
Do you find that the people, ensuring that your team is one that understands the business, understands the needs of the business, is that a new kind of worker that you're looking for, a new kind of employee that you're working for?
Yes, I think the proportion of workers' skill sets within the team has changed.
Yes, okay.
So it's not a new kind of worker.
Yeah.
You know, yes, somebody has to be exposed to the newer technologies, has to be sensitive to user experiences and ease of use. But, you know, the skills are transitioning. So we're reducing the size of our team that does the technical work.
Right.
And increasing the size of the team that does business-oriented work.
I see. Another topic that you've spoken at some length about is Enterprise 2.0 and all the different implications of that topic. I wonder if you could speak a little bit about how you've personally interacted with it. I've mentioned your blog a moment ago, but also its business implications as well.
Right. So I think the market is abuzz with Enterprise 2.0. How do we bring the Google inside, you know, and how do we bring Facebook inside our organization? People realize that that there's huge value that has been unleashed by especially the advent of social networks in collaboration and people discovering their long-lost friends and co-workers. And I think there's a strong desire within the enterprise to understand how we could enable social networks to allow our employees and our workers to collaborate with each other. I think the enterprise is being flattened by the advent of these tools, and there's much more need for people to find each other, to collaborate with each other quicker, to generate new ideas, to deliver new products. So, you know, we are actively looking at, and I think there's already a lot of adoption of things like wikis, and blogs and podcasting platforms and video streaming sites within and SharePoint within companies. So already, you know, there's a phase one delivery of Enterprise 2.0 going on in the enterprise. Where it creates a real challenge for a company like ours is that we are decentralized. So I'm grappling with the question that how much collaboration should I enable across our business units? Does it make sense for a marketing person from our cable division to be connected with a marketing person from our education division? You know, what's the commonality? Would it be a waste of their time to get to know each other, or would it be really productive for us to generate new ideas from cross-pollination of ideas from our various businesses? So we are, you know, we run our company in a very decentralized way, and that's the DNA of the organization. So we usually do not want a lot of cross-business unit collaboration till there's real value. If two business units decide that they would generate great value by collaborating on a specific item, then they, you know, they're clearly encouraged to do that. But we do not facilitate that kind of collaboration very actively and broadly in all domains across our business units. So I am evaluating how, in a decentralized organization like ours, we would bring in social networking. And will that change the fabric of our company? And we don't want to do that because, you know, we have been successful by, and clearly one of the few media companies that diversified and has, we have weathered the storm much better than most of our peers. And we don't want to change that. We want our diversified businesses to be able to evolve and move in at their own pace and make their own decisions. So collaboration poses a real question at my level when it comes to cross business unit collaboration, and I'm approaching that with care and with a lot of deliberation. So we will move forward. We see the value of collaboration and enterprise 2.0 elements within the enterprise. And at a business unit level, we have a fair amount of adoption. But cross corporation, I think we're at the very early stages of trying to deploy these technologies.
Do you have thoughts about those same technologies, social media technologies, for instance, and their use for communications internally to externally, that is with customers, Twittering and the use of social media in correspondences? Obviously, there's a lot of potential value. There's also, again, the concern of allowing people, what are people allowed to publish or broadcast? How much does it need to be vetted and so forth? What are your thoughts?
Sure. So, you know, I think the fast rise of Facebook to 500 million users across the world, you just cannot ignore where the customer is. Mm-hmm. The engagement of these customers or these users is extremely high with the technology. And obviously, every business that is trying to reach these customers has to be where they actually are. So, you know, we saw a lot of use of television advertising when television became popular, and people were sitting on their couch with their families watching the daily programs. And today, you know, people are collaborating with their friends on Facebook. And so I think any business that ignores that opportunity to engage with the customer where they are is taking a lot of risk on. So we are obviously encouraging and collaborating with our businesses and within IT to understand, you know, how do we leverage these opportunities and how do we mitigate the risk. There truly is a risk of IP leakage, of all kinds of challenges that can come our way because communication is very open. And at times, people, it may not be deliberate. People just do not realize that, you know, communicating in a certain way would result in impact that's unexpected.
You mentioned a few times that obviously the model here is decentralized. The mm-hmm. number of businesses you have are quite diverse. Mm-hmm. You mentioned though at the outset that there are these ways in which you insert yourself and draw from the different business units and obviously meet their needs through technology. Given the fact that Enterprise 2.0 oftentimes does require collaboration, does perhaps find common themes across different parts of the business, are there ways in which you can facilitate sessions with multiple parts of the organization to draw from them where those commonalities might be?
Right. So I think our approach will be to pilot that in certain areas and see, you know, the other day I was speaking with one of the executives at one of our business units, and he was talking about, you know, won't it be great for us to get all the iPad developers together across the company, because we're struggling with it, we are making some decisions that we would love to bounce off somebody we can trust. And, you know, there's a level of trust that comes with being within the Washington Post company, group of companies, that is hard to get when you're speaking outside. And so, you know, there's interest now. Are we going to set up a community of iPad developers? I mean, that could be, and also business folks. Mm-hmm. That could be a potential community that could bring value in our various businesses, leveraging the platform in a much more efficient way. So I think we will be very targeted in how we create these communities. And communities are hard. You know, it's very easy to create a community, but to sustain a community, to extract true value out of it, it requires investment. And I think we need to be careful on where we are going to invest. And, you know, the old mantra of, you know, build it and they will come doesn't really work for communities. You know, people want to see value, they want to get value, and then only they will give out and invest in the community.
Given the proliferation now of so many new devices, you mentioned the iPad is an obvious one, the iPhone, the various new kinds of phones through which people are consuming media. What are your thoughts on that? You mentioned that you've got iPad developers across different parts of the organization, so clearly this is something that the Post has thought a good deal about. What are your own thoughts about how these new devices and new means of consuming media are impacting a business like that?
I think mobile is an opportunity. And till very recently, there was very little revenue being made in mobile. You know, but I think that is fast changing. With the advent of the new smartphones, with the engaging applications that can be developed on those smartphones, and with the understanding within the businesses on how to leverage that media, is opening up that opportunity. And I think we are very closely watching it in some places and very actively participating in building out mobile applications and leveraging the mobile advertising platform along with our media. So mobile is clearly taking the mind share of our country and of our businesses, I guess.
That makes very good sense. Well, UV Coacher, thank you so much for taking this time. It's been a pleasure speaking with you.
Thank you.
Just listen to a podcast in a series we call Meta Strategies Forum on World-Class IT. If you like what you've heard, please consider reading my book, World-Class IT, Why Businesses Succeed When IT Triumphs, published by Josie Bass, a division of Wiley Press, in December of 2009. Both the book and the Forum on World-Class IT offer stories from a wide range of top IT leaders relating to Meta Strategies' five principles of world-class IT. The five principles are as follows. Principle one is people, and it's really the foundational principle. Without the right people, doing the right jobs at the right time, it will be nearly impossible to achieve excellent performance. The second principle is infrastructure, defined as software, hardware, networks. We like to say that this is the principle that separates proactive organizations from reactive ones. If infrastructure is not reliably performing its tasks, the IT organization will likely become stuck in a reactive mode, constantly fighting fires. And if systems and hardware work reliably, on the other hand, then a larger portion of the organization can think about the future. The third principle is project and portfolio management. This is the engine through which new capabilities can be brought to bear on behalf of the company. It's important to ensure that projects are delivered on time, on budget, and on target, and that the portfolio collectively supports the objectives of the business. The fourth principle is IT and business partnerships. It's important that, first and foremost, the different parts of IT, from business analysis to development and quality assurance, through to support and all other aspects of the IT department, communicate effectively and efficiently. It's equally important, then, that IT develop a partnering relationship with the business. Now, if the three prior principles are done well, then IT should earn a place at the strategy-setting table, driving different parts of the business strategy. The fifth and last principle is external partnerships. Outsourcing is becoming crucial to corporations, and managing these relationships to ensure that value is achieved is critical. In the fourth principle, the organization has learned and contributed to the discussion about what is strategic and what is not. Once that's clear, then it will be easier to determine which aspects of IT might be better managed by external partners or vendors. For more information on these five principles and the sub-principles that are associated with each, please visit our website at www.metastrategy.com. And please share your thoughts and comments by contacting us at feedback@metisstrategy.com. Our sound editor is Chris Davis, our web editor is Christian Dooley, and our theme music was written by David Armin. I'm Peter High. Thanks for listening.